Krishna is saying to Arjuna that if you want to understand something higher, tadvidhi, paripatti, then you have to approach the spiritual master and paripashena. Paripashena. What is the meaning? Pandaji, paripashena. You tell this. Huh? You have to acquire very submissively. So, this is the beginning of spiritual life. Spiritual life means humility. One has to be actually humble to understand that all of these functions of the body, they cannot bring me any happiness. The body is a machine, yantra, made up of material energy, but it doesn't bring me any happiness. And therefore, why should I continue my service to the body? Rather, I should become paripashena, sevaya. I should become a humble servant of the spiritual master. So that humility means to understand that all of these things connected with my body, they are secondary. And the first business is my connection with the spiritual master. That connection is given through what we call Divya Gyan. We are singing every morning Divya. Who knows what the meaning of Divya Gyan? Andrew, Divya Gyan. Huh? Divya. Realized by how? Coming from where? Huh? Coming from light. Where are you getting light from? From light bulb. If I have light bulb, I can get Divya Gyan. Huh? No, Divya. Riddhaya. Riddhaya Adhikavi. Riddhaya. From the heart, Divya, from within the heart. So from within the heart, everything is coming from within the heart. Just like Lord Brahma, at the beginning of creation, he also was in ignorance, but he had Hridaya Adhikavaya. From within the heart, he became Adhikava. That means the original philosopher. He became the greatest philosopher. Lord Brahma, there's no greater philosopher than Lord Brahma. He has four heads. You only have one head. And that head is a bit cracked. But he has four heads, super knowledge. But from within his heart, if you don't have knowledge from within the heart, then one cannot have the blessings of Krishna. So from within the heart, he becomes the Adhikava, the original poet, the original philosopher. Philosopher means poet. Just like Kaviraj Goswami, Krishna, he is writing such nice poetry. And that poetry is full of knowledge. Valmiki also wrote very nice poetry, isn't it? Poet. Philosopher means poet. Very learned in all the meters and pronunciations and the grammar of Sanskrit is a very deep language. So, Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita that when you approach the spiritual master and inquire submissively from him, then that the spiritual master imparts knowledge unto you. Why? Because he has had tattva darshana. Tattva darshana means that he has a darshan of Krishna. Tattva, truth. Krishna's truth. So, and then Krishna says that Yat yatva na punamoham evam yasya shipandava. So the Lord is explaining that once having obtained that knowledge, having obtained real knowledge from a self-realized soul, you will never again fall into such illusion. For this knowledge you will see that all living beings are but part of the Supreme. Or in other words, that they are mine. So this is the conclusion of knowledge. The conclusion of knowledge is Vasudeva Saranam Riti. Vasudeva Saranam Riti. That everything is resting on Krishna. Everything is Krishna and everything is resting on Krishna. Material consciousness means separatist consciousness. The idea of separating the energy from the energetic. That is the whole atheistic mentality of the material world. That people want to separate the energy from the energetic. They are enjoying the energy, but they're not thinking where it's coming from. Isn't it? Such beautiful energy they're enjoying. Just like I'm enjoying the countryside in the summer. Of course, here you don't get much summer. Africa, you get more summer. But you see, there are beautiful butterflies and different types of birds making nice noises, making little nests. And there's beautiful aroma of flowers and lakes and waterfalls. And one is with nice consort, isn't it? You can have all those things, but you also need a nice consort so that you can enjoy together in the groves of the material world. So therefore, we see that everyone is very anxious to enjoy the energy of God. Without God, there's no interest in God, very little interest in God, but very big interest in the energy. Big interest. The materialistic mind is very interested in enjoying the energy of God, the energy of Krishna. Therefore, we are constantly endeavoring for perfection of life, perfection of materialistic life. That is the desire of the materialist. So the devotee also has desire, a desire to perfect life spiritually. So, it says here that even if you are considered to be the most sinful of all sinners, when you are situated in the boat of transcendental knowledge, you will be able to cross over the ocean of material miseries. When you are situated in a transcendental boat of knowledge, Rajavijya Rajaguyam, Pavitram Itam Uttamam. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that this Rajavijya, this transcendental knowledge, is the king of all education because it gives direct perception to the self through realization. You see? It gives direct perception to the self through realization. We are visited by great sages and pundits from the manor. Oh, look. See? I was just complaining there's no garland on Prabhupada and you bring me a garland. So somehow Krishna heard me complaining. He sent a garland. So this Rajavijja, Rajavijja, the king of all knowledge, because it gives direct perception of the self. Everyone is trying to perceive, but what are they perceiving? That we have to study. What are they perceiving? They're perceiving the body. We have perception. But we are perceiving the body. And we are perceiving things related to the body. You see? So our perception is defective. We're not getting the proper thing. Just like I'm looking at you, I'm not seeing all of the 365 degrees. I'm only seeing this much. This much I'm seeing, isn't it? I'm not getting full perception. Limited perception. So if someone is coming behind me, I don't know what's going to happen. So, we are not at any one time seeing very much. Actually, if we study, we'll find that we are seeing very little of this world. And, no matter what we see, we are even able to capture less. How much do we capture in a lifetime? Isn't it? Everybody is trying to capture something. Somebody wants to capture a nice house, or family, or car, or money, good job. Someone is trying to capture a ministerial post in the government, MP, or they want to work with the BBC. So everyone is trying to capture some arrangement of the material energy. And we see that this struggle for existence, actually, what is the struggle for existence? It is a struggle to achieve some sort of perfection in this material world. We want to have some perfect situation. But wherever we go, padam padam, there is always some danger. You're just in time for prasad. You timed it well, huh? Huh? We had an hour and a half kirtan and you turn up for prasada. So, this struggle for existence, as Prabhupada said, struggle for existence, the whole human race. Their only hope, your divine grace. So here, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is explaining the meaning of divine grace. We use that word divine grace, your divine grace. Actually, everything is grace. Everything we perceive, everything we have in this world is grace. Isn't it? Just like the Christians, they say their grace before they eat, isn't it? Oh Lord, thank you for giving us everything and give us some more. Not exactly like that, but they say thank you for all these nice goody-goodies. And may we munch them up and enjoy. So, what is the meaning of grace? We should study that very carefully, because grace means something which is given out of kindness. Something which is for your benefit. For your benefit. This is the what we call atta. There are two words, anatta and atta. Atta means that which is vitally necessary for our benefit. There are many things which are needed for our benefit. We need air. We need air. We have to breathe. We need food. We need to have clothing, and we need a nice arrangement also. So we are in need of so many things. From the moment we come into this world until the moment we leave, it is an existence of constant need. There is constant want. This is called atta. Atta, dharma atta, karma moksha. So atta means that which is vitally necessary. But unfortunately, most people think that the vital needs of life are related to the body. When we have some need of the body, this is vitally important. But spiritual life means a different emphasis, a different type of consciousness. This is transcendental consciousness, meaning to transcend, to go above the mundane or materialistic plane, to go above the plane of mundane necessity, mundane wants, mundane hankerings, and mundane lamenting. Brahma Bhuta Pasanabma, the Sochitina Kanchati. On that plane there is no more hankering and no more lamenting. So to go onto that plane requires divine grace. Because it is not another extension of the material acquisition. Spiritual life is not just another material acquisition. Many people think that spiritual life can be gained by some sort of material arrangement. But it is not so, because Krishna is not to be subjected to our whims. Just like in the material world, everybody wants everything to be subjected to its whims, isn't it? What's the meaning of a dictator or an autocratic ruler? Then they rule by their own whims. And that has caused havoc in the history of Europe. We've had Louis V, a madman, idiot. And Henry the Fat, big fat Henry VIII, with his eight wives. And so many big leaders. And acting according to their whim, they caused so much chaos in the world. So, when we come to the transcendental plane is not another extension of that materialistic acquisition or materialistic, exploitation or manipulation. You cannot manipulate the transcendental plane. You cannot bring it under your subjugation because it's too great. It would be a very ridiculous thing for something so tiny to think it could become so great. You see, the living entity is so tiny, so small, So for him to think that he could actually move on to that level, the transcendental level, and to bring it subjugated in some way. So therefore to have a philosophy become God. You see? What you do, you merge. You see? That little thing merges with the big thing and it becomes the big thing. So they say, what is it? Brahma Satyam Jagat Mritya. That the material world is Mritya, or false. And that Brahman is Satyam, or truth. So when we give up this false connection, we become Brahman. But they don't understand Brahman. That is the thing. They don't understand. What is Brahman? Atata Brahma Jignasya. Now is the time to study Brahman. Human life means to study Brahman. To make a thorough study of what is Brahman. Is Brahman something personal or something impersonal? Is it energy or is it energetic? So all of these things have to be studied. Is Brahman the controller or the controlled? You see? We are also Brahman. Every one of us is Brahman. But we are not the controllers. So we're a different type of Brahman. Because Brahman means the absolute truth. So therefore we are a different type of Brahman. We are that Prakriti Brahman. We are the, just like there is Purusha, Krishna is Purusha, and Prakriti. Prakriti. Prakriti means that which is enjoyed. Purusha means the enjoyer. So we are part of the enjoyment of Krishna. It is artificial for us not to be engaged in the enjoyment of Krishna. It is artificial for us to want to be the enjoyers. It will not stand up to the test of material energy. Material energy is too great, too vast. So therefore, all of these tiny little entities who come to the material world, they are struggling very hard with the various material arrangements that are actually confusing, bewildering them, and subjecting them to all sorts of adi-devaka, adi-bhautika, adi-atmaka klesha, all the different types of incompatibility or inconvenience or suffering or misery or whatever we want to call it. That is proving to us that we don't actually have substantial footing in this world. We're not substantial. If we were substantial, then we would be controllers. We want to be controllers. But we are not substantial enough to be controllers. If we were more substantial, we could have more control. That can be seen by the different types of consciousness in this world. The more consciousness that's there, the more control is there, isn't it? The little insect is only controlling a little piece of sugar. We're controlling a whole country, President Clinton. You see? Just like if an ant wants to bomb Bosnia, what's he going to do? Fly over with a piece of sugar and drop it on their head. But if Mr. Clinton wants to bomb Kosovo or whatever, Serbia, the whole force comes down on their head and they're crying. So this is the different types of consciousness. The little insect is also thinking that I have some permanent situation in this world. He's not thinking he's impermanent. Neither is he thinking he's inadequate. He's thinking actually he's adequate. We can see that he's very inadequate. But he's not thinking like that. Just like when you see a dog, you think this stupid dog. But he's thinking, look at this stupid human. I'll give him a bite. Get out of here. And we run down the road. And then he goes, just see, I frightened him. So in that way, we can see that all of the different species, they all have their different situation according to the arrangement of nature. Guna karma, according to the gunas and karma, sarvashaha, there are so many different types of living entities, and they're all thinking that they have some adequacy in this world. They have some adequacy, some sufficiency, some sufficient type of enjoyment. But those who are on the human plane, they can understand that all of this arrangement of the material world is totally futile and useless. Because why? It's connected to an inferior situation, an inferior arrangement. It has no superior ingredient. It has no actual superior ingredient because it is nirananda. Nirananda means it's full of misery. It is asat. It is completely temporary. And achit. Full of ignorance. So the material energy is conducted by Krishna's inferior arrangement and it is full of misery. It is completely temporary. And it is completely full of ignorance. What we call so-called knowledge of the material world is actually an illusion. Therefore it's called maya apritya jnanam, that this knowledge is taken away by illusion. It's an illusionary idea, just like castles in the sky or bubbles on the ocean. Bubbles, it looks like they're very significant, lots of bubbles, but they disappear in no time. So every arrangement we make in this world, it disappears in due course of time. Sometimes we're famous, sometimes we're infamous, sometimes we're happy, sometimes we're distressed, sometimes we're rich, sometimes we're poor, sometimes we've gained, sometimes we've lost, sometimes we're intelligent, sometimes we're stupid. So these are all dual kind of situations that we're in. So here, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is explaining how to come to the transcendental plane, how to move away from this mundane plane. We want to get out of this mundane plane, but we must know the system how to get out. It is not that we can just simply by our whim or by our desire get out of the material world. So therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in the heart of the living entity. Krishna says that I am situated and I am guiding, I am directing. I am directing the wanderings of all living beings. From me comes knowledge, remembrance and forgetfulness. These things are very, very important. We are vitally in need of knowledge. It comes from Krishna. It comes from Krishna. All knowledge comes from Krishna. Everything comes from Krishna. So why wouldn't knowledge come from Krishna? If everything comes from Krishna, why wouldn't knowledge come from Krishna? It must come from Krishna. It must. So we should have complete faith in Krishna. He will give us all knowledge. Prabhupada said, you cannot be Krishna conscious and not be full of knowledge. You must be full of knowledge because you are part and parcel of the all knowledge. So how can there be ignorance? For a devotee, there should never be ignorance. So Krishna is giving that knowledge from within the heart. Didami buddhi yogam tam. Krishna is giving that knowledge, but he's reciprocating. Ye amam prapadyante. As we approach him in this mood of paripashena and sevaya. You see? Now, if you say, oh, I want to approach Krishna paripashena sevaya, how are you going to do it? Where is he? Is he in here? You can open your chest up and look around. Or you can get an x-ray scan and see if he's in there. But you can't see him in there, can you? Has anyone seen Super Soul? You can't see him. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is very kind. He externally manifests as spiritual master. He's very, very kind. Then you may think, oh, but spiritual master, he's not God. He's not God. How can you say that Super Soul has come as spiritual master? It's a big question, isn't it? How can the spiritual master be the Super Soul? He doesn't have four arms. He doesn't have a beautiful form. He's not unlimited. So this is a mystery to understand. But here, Kaviraj Goswami is saying, you should know the Acharya as myself and never disrespect him in any way. This is a quote from the 11th canto. One should not envy him, thinking him as an ordinary man, for he is the representative of all the demigods. Prabhupada said, this is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 17th chapter, text 27, spoken by Lord Krishna when he was questioned by Uddhava regarding the four social and spiritual orders of society. He was specifically instructing how a brahmachari should behave under the care of a spiritual master. So, it is not that we are artificially saying that the spiritual master is Krishna, is God, but he is representing God. He is representing God. Now, when one represents someone else, then that representation, a good example is a policeman. A policeman might be, if you walk down the road, sometimes you see all sorts of policemen. Some of them are funny looking, some of them are intelligent looking, some of them look strong and big and fat, and some of them look skinny. There are all different types of policemen. Every single one of them represents the government. It's not that one guy, because he went to this school and he doesn't know how to ride a bicycle, or he doesn't know how to play football, or he doesn't know how to sing, or he doesn't know this or that, therefore he's not a policeman. As soon as he is representing the government, he is a policeman. Even if it's a female also, she can represent. There's so many PCs, WPC, isn't it? WC, Betty, PC, Bev. When I was in Radlett, there's a PC, Bev, Bevy. So she's also representative of government, Bev. She's just as much a representative as the commander-in-chief. But because she is empowered. She's empowered by the government to represent. She's empowered. The government has empowered her that if she goes along, even if there's five big thugs, she can arrest a whole lot of them. You're under arrest. And they will be very hesitant to fight her. Isn't it? Little PC Bev. She can go along and threaten them. You behave yourself or I'll arrest you. And they can say, you're just a little woman, go out of here. We can whop you in 2 seconds. But she has a little radio. Come in, Zed Victor 5. Tango, tango, come in. And very quickly, hundreds of police officers will be there. You see? Because there's a system. There's a system set up by the government for response, rapid response. So if such a little thing like the government can have such a wonderful system, imagine the system of God. How much system is there in God's creation? So Krishna is always working through his energy, working through his representatives, in order to bring the living entity back to his original position, back to the transcendental plane. So if you render service to the devotees, to the Vaishnavas, to the representative Krishna, you are automatically pleasing Krishna. Automatically. This humility of serving the Vaishnavas is very, very important for advancement in spiritual life. You may have your views, he's not a Vaishnav, he doesn't glow at night. He doesn't glow. I didn't see him glowing in the dark. Or I didn't see him rolling around in ecstasy, foaming at the mouth. And I don't think he's as good as Rupa Goswami. I only want to serve Rupa Goswami. I don't want these earthlings. I want the Paramahansa. Yes, we want. But the point is that Krishna is represented in two forms particularly. God is the Purusha, the enjoyer, and God is the servant. God is also there as servant. If you look at Panchatapa, you see there's Chaitanya, Nityananda. Nityananda is servant. Gadadhara is servant. Advaita is servant. Srinivas is servant. Chaitanya is Purusha, but all are servants. But Chaitanya has come to show how he is also servant, so they all come in the mood of service. That is the mood of the Vaishnava, servant. This mood of seva, Sevaya, sevaya is very, very important, because this is the thing which purifies the heart. Service to Vaishnavas. One should not be so critical or so mental about, is he a Vaishnava or not a Vaishnava. Anyone who is chanting the holy names, who is serving Krishna, he's Vaishnava. So out of those Vaishnavas, there may be more that are advanced or more that are less advanced. But if one is actually humble, then one can gain the benefit of serving all the Vaishnavas, regardless of the status. Because what Krishna is looking for is the intention. He wants to see the intention of the living entity. And that intention is that one should become paripashena sevaya. One should become very humble. And one should always have serving mood towards Vaishnavas. And this is very purifying in the heart. This will purify the heart. So the spiritual master is the manifestation of Krishna's energy externally. So there are different types of spiritual master. Those are Shiksha Guruke. Here it is mentioned. Shiksha Guru, the spiritual master who instructs. So the instructing spiritual master, he is also representative of Krishna, and he should be treated with respect. Otherwise, if there is not that relationship of master and servant, if one is thinking, no, I'm always the master. I'm always master. Servant is not a good thing. Nobody wants to be servant. In this world, to be servant is considered... If you serve someone, oh, look at that idiot. What an idiot. Disgusting. I mean, look at the way he serves. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't. Look at this disgusting behavior. You wouldn't find me doing that type of menial servant. Why? I'm just too good. I mean, I'm just too good, too wonderful to bow down like that or to serve like that. So our nature is we never want to actually serve anyone. Nobody in this world wants to serve anyone. We want to be served. You see? Just like if you're aspiring, then you will aspire to be sannyasi, guru, GBC. Not pot washer, toilet cleaner. We don't want such a horrible position like that, because if we are just toilet cleaner, we will become, everyone will look down on us. Look at that idiot cleaning toilet, cleaning floor, cleaning Krishna's temple. So generally nobody wants to stay very long in the pot department. They want to move up the ladder. This is nature. But actually, the real Vaishnav is one who is the greatest servant. He is Vaishnav. The greatest servant. And that service attitude is not an artificial imposition of the mind. It is actually a state of pure realization of one's insignificance in relationship to Krishna and Krishna's creation. Then one is ready to serve, because one can understand that actually everything is Krishna, achintya bheda, abheda tapa, that everything is simultaneously one and different from Krishna. So as it says that after many lifetimes, then Vasudeva Sanamriti. What does it mean, Vasudeva? That one sees that everything is Vasudeva. Everything is Vasudeva, the energy of Krishna. And therefore, one should serve everything as Krishna's energy. One should serve everything as Krishna's energy. Not that we make this idea that there is something separate from Krishna. No, everything is Krishna's energy. Of course, that doesn't mean that you go and embrace tiger or lion and say, come and give me a kiss, because you're also Krishna's energy. I want to embrace you. No, you can understand that there are varieties in Krishna's energy. We can understand the varieties. But we should understand that all of this energy is connected to the energetic. And therefore, one should behave accordingly to that. So, when one is a servant of the Vaishnavas, then one should become situated in that mood of humility. Humility actually is a very rare condition in this world. Nobody wants to be humble, because humility in Kali Yuga means weakness. You may be exploited. You may be trampled over. You may be cheated. You have such bad experiences of the past of surrendering to anyone. When I surrendered last time, I was cheated. Huh? Just like when you surrender to women, sometimes you get cheated. She runs off with the milkman or something. Then you're crying, oh, again I'm cheated, again. I surrendered to her, lotus feet. And she ran off with someone else, without even saying goodbye. She didn't even return that ring I bought her. So, therefore, when we surrender, we're always hesitant, always suspicious. Someone's out to get me. Someone's out to cheat me. Someone's there who's going to exploit me. But in actuality, we're not surrendering to anyone but Krishna. Our whole position in Krishna consciousness is to surrender to Krishna. And in order to surrender to Krishna, we must accept everything favorable for surrendering to Krishna. Everything favorable. So the most favorable thing for spiritual life is humility. It's the most favorable wind that you can get. The wind that will blow the boat back to God. It is actually humility. But how to get humility? You can't get it by some artificial means. You have to get it by sevaya. By serving the Vaishnavas, by serving the spiritual master, then automatically the heart becomes melted. It becomes melted because Krishna is so pleased. If you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, what is it? Most of Chaitanya Charitamrita is exchanged between Vaishnavas, isn't it? How many of you read Chaitanya Charitamrita? Only one, two. You should read Chaitanya Charitamrita because then you see Vaishnava behavior. And the Vaishnavas are always eager to serve, to serve the other Vaishnavas. So therefore, one can have so many spiritual masters. It is not that there's only one spiritual master. Because Krishna is manifested in many ways, just like this is also a spiritual master. We worship the Bhagavatam, we worship the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is our spiritual master talking to us. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he is also a spiritual master. Vyasadeva is our spiritual master. Lord Brahma is our spiritual master. Guru is our spiritual master. And Vaishnavas are all our spiritual masters. So as that we can actually try to please Krishna through that medium of spiritual master. And of course, individual spiritual master, diksha. One takes diksha initiation. That means that one has one particular spiritual master, that one takes this mantra initiation from. So one time we asked Prabhupada, how will one know the best spiritual master? Everybody wants the best spiritual master. I want to get the best one. He wasn't so lucky. I'm going to get a better one. So Prabhupada said, find someone who's mad after Krishna. Absolutely mad, just like Lord Chaitanya was mad after Krishna. So spiritual master means those who are mad after Krishna. So who's mad after Krishna? Vaishnavas, they're mad after Krishna. If you read again Chaitanya, they're all mad. Mad after Krishna. Isn't it? They're mad. They're all the time, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Kirtan, chanting japa, reading all day long. Lunacy. Most people say, what is that lunatic? What does he do all day long? Just chants Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. What's the benefit of that? Where is the gain in that? And always bowing down. The Goswamis, always they were bowing down. Every day they would go around Govardhan Hill, bowing all the time. Dandavats, isn't it? In the hot dust of Vrindavan. Why? To gain that submissiveness to the desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So spiritual life means to declare war on the false ego. We have to declare war on this false ego. So anything which helps this false ego to become melted, then is a very good thing. Therefore humility is very important, sevaya. And then when one actually pleases Krishna by seva, of course one can say, oh, I'm only serving Krishna, I don't want to serve anyone else. But that is actually wrong, because Krishna is always trying to serve his devotees. So if you want to please Krishna, then naturally you try to serve his devotees, because he's always trying to serve his devotees. So why wouldn't he be pleased if you serve his devotees? As Prabhupada said, love me, love my dog. If a man is always trying to please his dog, and you come along and please his dog, then automatically you please the man. But if you go to the man and try to please him, he may be a billionaire, it may be difficult to please him. If you go along with a Kit Kat, he may not be impressed. But if you give the dog some little scraps, his tail is wagging, a little piece of chocolate, he goes, ooh. So the master becomes very, oh, thank you for being nice to little, what do they call him, Fido or something. Huh? So that's true also if you have a child. Sometimes you see where when you're meeting someone, if you embrace their child or something, then immediately they become happy. Oh, thank you very much. Or your child is very beautiful. And they go, oh, thank you. So similarly, that nature is there in Krishna. Krishna loves his devotees. He loves all living entities. Particularly he loves his devotees. Therefore, he sends these devotees into the material world in order to engage these fallen conditioned souls in their service. And by serving those Vaishnavas, one automatically becomes situated in this transcendental shelter of devotional service. So we should always be very anxious to serve. There's not only one spiritual, there's so many different manifestations of spiritual master means one who gives support in our spiritual life, to give us support. We need so many things. We need transcendental knowledge. We need enthusiasm. We need help. We need so many things. So support. So guru means that which supports. So that function of supporting, that's there by the mercy of Radharani, by the mercy of Lord Balaram. So we worship Lord Baladev, Nityananda, as the original spiritual master, situated within all of our hearts. So therefore, Lord Balaram has come as Lord Nityananda, and therefore from within the heart, Lord Nityananda is encouraging us, and externally he is also appearing as the Sankirtan movement. So this is a manifestation of Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So we should worship all of those who are engaged in the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya. We should not see all their individual faults. We are very easy able to see so many faults because we're like flies. The fly is always looking for the wound, the smelly, pussy wound. That's what it hankers for, isn't it? Have you ever been in India when you get a cut? Especially when you have cracked feet, there's always about 8 or 9 flies in there after the pus. Especially if the wound is very rotten and stinky, they love it. They get very excited. So we also have minds like flies. We want to see the faults in everyone. Ha! Just see, I found one. Little does he know, I caught him out. Yeah, he's just a dirty, rotten, stinking bum. I hate him. He thinks he's so big. He thinks that. So this way, we're always looking for the garbage, like crows. In the material world, everyone is always looking for a fault so they can bring people down. They want to trample on their heads. So by the more faults we find, the more we can bring everyone down. Bring them down so that we can trample over their heads. And then if someone says, you got faults. Me? Me? Faults? The only fault I ever had is I thought I had a fault. But I realized I was mistaken, so. So that's our nature, egotism, false egotism. That we think that we're very special and everyone else is actually inadequate. We're adequate, but they're inadequate. So therefore, this transcendental system of devotional service is actually paripashena sevaya, to render service to the spiritual master, inquire submissively from him, render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge. Self-realized means to understand the self, Krishna. to know the science of Krishna. So there are different levels of self-realization, but still, one who knows the science of Krishna, he is capable of becoming spiritual master. Okay, we'll stop there. Any questions at all? Very intelligent audience. You know, if you find a Mahabhagavat spiritual master, then that's very fortunate for you. Obviously, one should try to take shelter of someone who you can give your heart completely to. That is true. So, if you find Mahabhagavat, but to understand what is a Mahabhagavat, that's also not necessarily so easy. For instance, in Gaudiya Math, Prabhupada wasn't recognized as a Mahabhagavat. He was recognized as a householder. So, Prabhupada actually never had any Indian disciples. I think there was one. So that means, even though Prabhupada was a Mahabhagavat all his life, it wasn't until 72 when he came to America that anyone even thought about it. So is it so easy to recognize a Mahabhagavat, even if there is one? So, to understand what is Mahabhagavat, one has to study very carefully the different types of guru, the different types of level of realization. But the main feature is that the spiritual master, as Rupa Goswami explains in Nectar of Instruction, if you read it, he should have complete control over the urges, six types of urges. Then he is qualified. Why is he qualified? Because he's no longer affected by the material modes of nature. He's no longer contaminated by material lust or anger or greed or illusion or attachment. So, if one says that only Mahabhagavats can be spiritual masters, that means on this planet you've got about 5.5 billion people. And Lord Chaitanya says that everyone on this planet should go back to home, back to Godhead. Every town and village of the world. So if there's 5.5 billion, 6 billion people, actually, in Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya is delivering everyone. He's Jagat Guru. Lord Chaitanya, we call him Mahaprabhu, isn't it? We are Prabhu, but he's Mahaprabhu. So we are Prabhu. So he has come to deliver everyone. There's no question he will deliver. Otherwise, he was lying. He was wasting his time. Chaitanya has come here to waste his time. Why didn't he go to the heavenly planets? It'd be easier, wouldn't it? Why did he come to this rotten place? So, Chaitanya and Nityananda, they are bewildered. They didn't know how to deliver. There was some problem. There's no problem. Lord Chaitanya has come. Namo Mahavananayate Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Sri Gurathaya Namaha. So, Rupa Goswami is saying that you are the most magnanimous because you have come. You are giving what no other guru has given. You are giving what no other incarnation has given. You are liberally distributing love of God, and you're not even making discrimination. Even the animals in Jarakananda, they didn't have gurus. Who was their guru? Did they have Diksha Guru? Look at them. You see them up there? Did they have initiation? Were they in ISKCON? Did they go to Mangalati? How many rounds were they chanting? But Chaitanya has delivered them. He has delivered them. And he can deliver anyone through his devotees. There are no hard and fast rules. He says that even. There are no hard and fast rules. One can chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind. Thinking oneself low and as strong as a tree, one must be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all false prestige. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. In Kali Yuga, his name has come to deliver everyone. So there is Nam Diksha. You understand? Nam Diksha. So you give Nam Diksha. Prabhupada was giving Nam Diksha. Nam Diksha means initiation into the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. So we are giving Nam Diksha. And then when one is more progressed, he can take Brahman initiation, second initiation. But This power of Mahaprabhu is God. God himself has come here and said, I am delivering everyone. Come on, get back. Kicking us. Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago. It's not something material. You can't look at it materially, measure it and calculate it. Oh, he only wanted to deliver this group. He couldn't tackle that group over there because he didn't have enough Mahabhagavats to go around. So they all went to hell. So therefore, in this Kali Yuga, there are so many arrangements of Mahaprabhu. And this age is special age, special mercy. But that doesn't mean one doesn't mean guru. It just means that there is special mercy. Otherwise, how are these Malecha meat eaters? How are they following if they're not getting mercy of guru? How are they following? You can't give up intoxication, meat eating, gambling, illicit sex, chant every day unless you're getting mercy. How can you do it? How can you make advancement unless you're getting mercy? So therefore one should understand that this mercy is coming. There are different types of lines of the simple succession. The Bhagavad line, there's what do you call this, Pancharatriki line, which is there. So you have to study all these things and see. But one should understand that one is delivered by Mukunda. Mukunda is the giver of liberation. You know Mukunda? Who is Mukunda? Who is Mukunda? Huh? Mukunda is loitering in the street. Mukunda is in the heart. Mukunda delivers you. He's the only one who can deliver you in the universe. Not even Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva can deliver you. Only Mukunda. So Krishna is delivering you through the agency of this spiritual master. Just like Bill Mangal Thakur, his guru was a whore, a prostitute. She was having sex with people. But Mukunda delivered him. Mukunda, in the heart, he delivered him through that prostitute. Get out of here, go to Vrindavan. He heard. Oh, I should get out of this whorehouse and go to Vrindavan and become pure devotee. So he went like that. So Krishna is delivering from within the heart, Mukunda. So Krishna is saying, I am in your heart. I am real. I exist. It's not some fictitious philosophical jargon. I am there in your heart. You can speak to me. I will not neglect you. Krishna says, give up all your nonsense, surrender unto me. I will not neglect you. You will not be neglected. You may think, because your paranoia is scared, I will never neglect you. I will deliver you. I personally take that responsibility. Otherwise, Krishna is a liar. He's a cheat. He shouldn't have said, I will deliver you. If he would have said, there are conditions, then he should have said that, shouldn't he? He said, there are no conditions once you surrender to me. I will deliver you. I am quite capable of delivering the whole universe. Don't worry. Don't fear. Surrender to me. So we should understand to surrender to Krishna, to surrender to the Vaishnavas. There's no harm. Krishna will protect. Don't worry. But nobody wants to surrender. That's the problem. People don't want to surrender. There are many instances in the history. Even Prabhupada gives example, one thief, he was listening to Bhagavatam and the reciter was saying that Krishna has all these jewels on his body. So he thought, oh, let me go and rob Krishna. He has all these jewels. So he asked the reciter, where is Krishna residing? Oh, he's in Vrindavan with Mother Yashoda. Oh, I'll go there and steal from him. So he went there to steal from Krishna. And Krishna met him in the forest. So that thief said, oh, ooh, you have nice jewels. And Krishna said, yes, my mother gave me. He's showing him his jewels. You know, child, what's the nature of a child? They show you the jewels. Look. So the thief said, oh, let me take these jewels from you. He said, no, my mother won't allow. She gave me them. I don't think she'll allow. But then he said, anyway, you take. But that thief was so overcome by Krishna's affectionate mercy that he actually became devotee. No, I don't want your jewels. I want to worship you. meaning, that is the intention, you see. He intended to get Krishna. So he went to Vrindavan to get Krishna. He got Krishna. You see? So who was his guru? The reciter of the Bhagavatam was his guru. You understand? And he went to Vrindavan with the right intention. So Krishna can also arrange things. It's not that because this happened that one has to have full faith in Krishna. If you have full faith in Krishna, everything will come. He can make all arrangements. So don't be disappointed. Krishna can make all arrangements. The main thing is that one should be mad after Krishna. One should become mad after Krishna. That's the main thing. If you become mad after Krishna, then Krishna says, yes, as you surrender, I will reciprocate. I will reciprocate. Don't worry. I'm not a cheater. I'm not a cheater. If you surrender to me, I'll reciprocate with you. So don't hesitate. You just surrender. Surrender completely. Then I'll reciprocate. Through so many mediums, I have so many arrangements. This whole material world is an arrangement for your surrender. Actually, everything is guru, because everything is there to actually bring you to that plane of surrender. So when you get beaten up or when you get run over by a car, that's also Krishna's mercy, guru mercy. Because it's telling you, hey, get out. Stop hanging here or I'll beat you. So guru also beat you. You see, beating guru. There's so many guru. So beating guru is there, kicking guru. Maya is kicking you. Why are we here today? Because we've been kicked around like a football. That's why we're here. So that's also guru. Guru has brought us here, kicking guru. Isn't that? Different type of guru. So there are so many different type of gurus. There are Diksha guru also. But don't worry, Krishna is quite capable of delivering everyone. Simply we have to have faith, deep faith, Shraddha. Okay, let's finish there. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.